Bien.
Bien, voilà.
Good morning, everybody. Our limud halacha every day is as a schus for the refuah of Yosef da ben Chayla b'soshal choli Yisrael b'korov. So we started speaking yesterday about making a mistake in the bracha mevorach hashanim. We've done mashiv aruach, or rather morid atol, or rather nothing. Yeah, and now we're going on to the bracha. So he started off baruch ato Hashem elokeinu melech ha'olam. No, it doesn't go like that. It says baruch aleinu Hashem elokeinu sashon azois beskomen esvos sal toivo. And you either said v'sein talamot levrocha, or at the moment in the first 30 days you don't know what you said, and we assume you said v'sein tal umotor levrocha. So if the moment you said v'sein tal umotor, you remembered immediately, oh, tal umotor, no, I mustn't mention umotor. Motor is, by the way, oh, I asked you a question yesterday. Why is Geshem mashav v'rocha moed Geshem? Why do we call rain Geshem in the mashav v'rocha moed, and when it comes to borech aleinu, we call it motor? They're both rain from heaven. So I thought about it, came up with a theory, ran it past a Rav. He said, yeah, you might be right. So you can think about it, experiment for yourself. My suggestion is that Geshem is rain generally. Rain that I drink, rain that fills the rivers, and rain that that we use for washing, and for laundering, etc., etc. Rain is a bracha that we need in order to survive, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends rain to the world. Specifically, rain that's landing on crops, on trees, and on fields, things that grow, is called motor. When it's matar atzachem, b'itoy yireh malkosh. Right? When it's matar atzachem, and we say it's saying talamotu levrocha al panehu adomo. So I'm thinking to myself, you need to think about it in other places where you come across the word motor, and other places where you come across the, you already got something, yeah? Where you come across Geshem, as to whether or not it fits the pattern. Ronnie? Nosati gishmechem be'itom. It's like mashu v'roch, amorid Geshem. That could be generally rain. We need water. We need water to survive. Water for crops specifically, right? For orchards and crops and fields, is maybe called motor. Again, it's something for us to think about as we go through davening, and you go through Kriyas HaTorah, and as you learn, and see whether or not there are any exceptions to the rule, or whether bechal it isn't a rule. It's possible. It's something I thought of. It's a possibility. Let's go back. So we said, yeah, just say motor. What do I do? Yeah? So, in Toich Kedei Dibor, there's a machloikis. Right, there's one shitta that says you said motor. The moment you said motor, that's cancelled your brocha. Your brocha's no good, and therefore you go back to borech aleinu, right to the beginning of the brocha, even though, right? And in fact, the Eish Avram, the Buchacha, says that even if you said v'sein tal and you didn't get to motor, so you said v'sein tal, if you say v'sein tal you're okay. If you say v'sein tal umotor, you're not okay. What happens if you say v'sein tal and then you forgot yourself, and then you chapped yourself? Says the Buchacha, the Eish El Avram, he says that's already, you were about to say motor. So he says you should go back to the beginning of the bracha for that, even for although you didn't say umotor. If you said umotor, you zichar go back to the beginning of, you go back to the beginning of the bracha, and that applies from
small amount of rain.
What?
Small amount of rain.
Yeah, and that applies all the way through. Yeah, that applies all the way through till Yirotzanim Refi Egyon Libi Lefonecha Hashem Tzuri the Goyali. If you're Nusach Ashkenaz, you're saying it once just before Eis HaShalom. If you're Nusach Sfad, you're at the second Hashem Tzuri the Goyali. That's called soft filler, even though you didn't actually step back Eis HaShalom yet. So if you've got to Yirotzanim Refi Egyon Libi Lefonecha Hashem Tzuri the Goyali, and your next word is supposed to be Oise Shalom, that's called the Siluk of Tefillah. You've finished your Tefillah, you got to the end. If you remember at that point that you said V'sein Tal Umotor, or in the first 30 days that you're not sure what you said, then you have to go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. In other words, anything up to Hashem Tzuri V'Goyali, you go back to Baruch Aleinu. But once you've said Hashem Tzuri V'Goyali, you finish your Shemoneh Esrei, you said the Shemoneh Esrei, and you said the same Talamot, which you shouldn't have, therefore you have to go right back to the beginning. As we said before, you don't say Hashem Tzuri Tiftach a second time, but you start Baruch HaTov Hashem Elokeinu V'Kei HaVaseinu.
Started at the Torah Way, Northwest London,
Friday, 4th day, Chol HaMoed Pesach, Kaf Nissen, 18th of April, Rabbi Yitzchok, first turn Shlita, the whiff of Chometz. This week's Torah was sponsored by Chus Rafu Shleim, Lechol Choli Yisrael, Lechus HaShavuim, HaChayelim, HaMil Chomosh, Shachsu Lefetahem, Lesholom, B'mehiro.
Everybody. I'd like to speak about an Indian which I worked through. I probably won't have time to go through the whole thing. And I thought of the Shtickle Divrei Agada. It always bothered me. Very often one goes out on Chol HaMoed Pesach, one goes shopping on Chol HaMoed Pesach, and one passes establishments where they're baking bread or baking or cooking other things, which obviously has a smell of chametz. And a person can't help going by and perhaps being nerner from the smell of chametz as one goes by. Is that a problem or not a problem? Is it mutzah or asah?
Is it worse than the smell of treifa? Is it worse than the smell of treifa the whole year round?
Treifa is not asah b'hanol. Most treifas. Yeah. Bosa treifa is not asah b'hanol. Chametz is asah b'hanol. Yeah. Chametz is very strict. It's very stringent. Look up the asah b'hanol. And as I stated in Shulchan Aruch brought down.
It doesn't
have b'hanol. Oh, so the shine is okay. Let's see. Let's say normal people. Smell of like freshly baked bread. There's a geschmack as he may not want to have hanol. You see, yeah, but by Edson, so if he's going shopping and there's a bakery in the superstore where he's shopping, and he walks past there, for a split second he's enjoyed the issa of the smell of the baked bread. So is there an issa to go shopping? Perhaps we shouldn't enter such a shopping Pesach. Shouldn't refrain from such a shopping Pesach. One goes in an outing where there's a or perhaps he should go to now. Is there any chumra concerning it? So remember, halacha lemaisa in Siman Tov Mem Gimel, there's a bia halacha about stamos. The whole Indian of reah chometz is reah chometz a problem of the suri hano? Now, why shouldn't it be a problem of the suri hano? Because there's a talk in the poskim that perhaps when there's only oven issa of hano when one smells something, if that thing is oimed l'reah, for example, the somim or something like that. Of avoid the zor, not chometz. Shleitzach b'somim is not chometz. We have b'somim avoid the zor, which is made to smell. So then, it's clear in the Gemara, there's an issa to have an awe of the smell of such a thing. Of the lo yitzu, you would have the smell of baked bread. Is there the derech to smell, but to enjoy baked bread, the smell of it? Or the derech is to enjoy the taste of baked bread. What's the issa an awe? The mice, at the end of the day, the bialoch has got a tumor on. He brings a shach in siman kuf ches. There's a read about it. At the end of the day, the bialoch paskins. About that chometz is also b'mashehu, he paskins that the ma'ase is also. Yeah, I'm not going to the whole thing now. But the ma'ase, he said, b'frat b'chometz, he said, one should be machmeh, that you the reach of chometz is also b'hanol, to the b'deidim men akula shata, one is used to enjoying chometz the whole year round. So besides the, it could be that the smell of baked bread is something which is oimed la reach. In other words, we find in the machlek make a brocha on the smell of baked bread, we don't make a brocha la ma'ase. Because we take it, there's a sadazay. And also the fact is, the smelling of baked bread may need somebody to eat from the bread, even the chametz you wouldn't. Generally, or maybe you forget yourself, you can enjoy it. Maybe we have a lot of paskins that the issa of riach of chametz is also bahanal. So leads us back to our shala. Obviously, no one's going to go and into a bakery to smell the bread on Pesach. But one's walking by, one's walking to a place nearby, or to a big superstore where they're doing lots of things there, and you can smell the baked bread as well. Is there an issa to go past such a thing? So the Emes is a mafurish Gemara Pesachim. The Gemara Pesachim in Daf Chof Hei Amad Beis, which is also a complicated sugya. We're not going to go into the whole sugya, but the Gemara Pesachim Chof Hei Amad Beis discusses somebody who's walking down the street and he encounters Reach Shel Avodah Zarah. He encounters the smell of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says that Itma Hano Habor LeOdem Baal Korchei. The Gemara calls it a Hano which comes to somebody Baal Korchei by force. Now he's not going to smell the baked bread, or the best of the baked bread. He's not going to smell the reich of Avodah Zarah. He's not coming, going specifically there to do so. Although he's going on his way, and he's going for some reason going to that place. And Hanor, the Avodah Zarah, comes to him, and he is benefiting. Not he's not there, he is there. He's enjoying the smell while he's walking past.
That's not
Mal Kochay. Oh, so we'll see soon. But the Gemara calls it Hanor Avodah Mal Kochay. And the ones got very stodim. Efshav Kamachavin, Lo Efshav Lekamachavin. They just say Halacha Lemais at the end of the day of the Gemara. The Gemara says that bein efshav aleikum achaven halacha lemaisa or loy efshav aleikum achaven. I'll go through the two cases again. In a case of efshav aleikum achaven, in other words, in a case where he's allocates first. If it's not possible for him to go and to do any other thing, he has to go to this place, not for the purpose of smelling the Avodah Zarah. He has to go to the place because that's his workplace. And he wants to go there because he's working there, or he's going there for another reason. So he can't take another route. He has to go to that place. And every day he's sitting in his office, and there's a mokim Avodah Zarah next door, some Buddhist place, which they're cooking up incense, and he's enjoying the smell every day. It's impossible for him to go and not go to that place. He has to go to that place. But the Maisa, he's not being machaven, meaning he's not going there for the purpose of the smell. He's going there for other reasons. But the Maisa, the Hanoi is coming to him. The whiff of the Avodah Zarah is coming into his office daily, on occasion whenever he opens his windows, and he's smelling the Avodah Zarah. That's Loi Efsha V'Loi Kol Machaven. He doesn't want to, he's not machaven, he didn't go there for the purpose of smelling the Avodah Zarah. But now in Loi Efsha, it's impossible to go anywhere else because he has to go there for various reasons. That's not the one. Says the Gemara, that's Mutter. That's Mutter. Case number two, which is more of a Chumaridika case, even Efsha, even if it would be possible for him to work somewhere else. He likes this place, he could go somewhere else, for a particular reason. Well, the Gemara's talking about he's going down the street. He's got two ways to go to a place. He could go left, he could go right. He could even get to the same place. And on the way he's going, there's a smell of Avodah Zarah. Even if it's Efsha V'Loika Machaven, says the Gemara, it's Mutter. It's Mutter for him to go that way, even though on the way, he's going to end up smelling the Avodah Zarah. Halacha L'mayis, we pass like Rav Shimon, the Efsha V'Loika Machaven is Mutter. Yeah? So, what we've said is basically, as long as a person is Loika Machaven, he didn't go for that purpose, it'd be Mutter for him to go along and have a Hanor of the Avodah Zarah. He's not going for that purpose. The Shaila is, as Yitzchak just asked, why are we saying Loika Machaven? The man says he may not want it to go that way, he may not go away. The man says when he's there, he's enjoying it. And more than that, Tosafos asks Akasha, Tosafos says, why is there no Shaila Psik Reisha? This whole thing of Loika Machaven, and not wanting to have Hanor from the Chometz, is the normal klal, is the normal rule which we say in Kol HaTorah Kula, Shabbos Kol HaTorah Kula, Dovah She'eina Miskaven Mutter. We pass connect with Shimon, a matter which a person is not miskaven for, he's not having the kavana for it, is Mutter. For the famous classic example, somebody stepping a chair on Shabbos, or a heavy thing on Shabbos, or even a heavy thing, and it makes a groove in the ground. As he steps the chair, making a groove in the ground in earth is an Issa. Nevertheless, since his purpose, primary reason of stepping the chair wasn't to make the groove in the ground, the primary reason of moving the chair was because he wants to get the chair from place A to place B. So the groove in the ground becomes a dova she'ina miskaven, and a dova she'ina miskaven is mutter. So, like Bazei here as well, one goes there for the purpose of work or enjoyment, wherever he's doing a cholamid Pesach, or in the case of the Gemara Pesachim Avodah Zarah, and Agav, he smells the Avodah Zarah, or he smells the smell of chametz. So we say, he's not going to be machaven. He's going just stamazay to his work. His purpose is going for one thing. At the same time, there comes to him a smell of Avodah Zarah. That's a dovah she'ena miskaven is mutter. Oh, so that's the shal here. That's where it gets a bit sticky. So Tosafos says, one more point. A dovah she'ena miskaven is only mutter when it's not a psik reisha. That means when it's not definite it's going to happen. If you know that every time you step this chair, it's impossible to step the chair without making a groove in the ground. The chair is heavy and the ground is soft. And every time you step this chair, there's definitely going to be a groove in the ground. For states everybody holds, that's called psik reisha velo yomos. It's a notion of chazal, which means you can't cut off the head of a chicken and say he's not going to die. You can't cut off his head and say perhaps he won't die. Of course he's going to die. So if you cut the head of the chicken, even though you don't want to kill him, you want to use the head for something else, but of course he's going to die. So that's psik reisha velo yomos. You can cut off the head and who are then? If you step a chair and it's going to make a groove, you can't say, I'm not machaven to go along. Wait, shut a minute, but I say, you can't say, I'm not machaven to go along and make a groove in the ground. You know, every time you step the chair, there's a groove in the ground. So, Ibazoi, Frek Tosafos, what's pshat in this Gemara Pesachim? And we're comparing it to the smell of the chometz. If somebody goes down the street and there's a Buddhist monastery next door and he's smelling the chometz, the Avodah Zarah, every single day when he goes down the street, and he knows when he goes down the street he's going to smell the chometz. So, why? Because Loiko machaven. He doesn't mean to smell the chametz. He's not going there to smell the chametz. He's going there to do his work, or he's going there to enjoy his outing of Chol HaMoed, or he's going there to the shop to do his shopping. Why do we say that Adova She'ena Miskaven is Mutter? Here it's a psik reisha. It's a definite outcome of the place where he's going. He's going to smell the chametz. So that's kind of, and more than that, even a bit more than that, Yisus asked a bit more than that. What do you mean he's not Machaven? He may not be Machaven when to go down the street, but when he's there, the smell is coming to him, and he's smelling the chametz. He's enjoying the smell of the chametz. Why is that in a machal? That's the problem. Why we say, how we can say that's definitely mutter to go in a place where you're going to actually inadvertently, you don't want to do it. You don't want to do it. But the ma'aser, when you do it, you're enjoying it. It's happening, and you know it's going to happen. Segregation, you know it's going to happen. As I said, Taisus Akasha. So Taisus says in Psochim, Chafayim at base, that we're talking about the case where there's no segregation. The whole Gemara in Psochim, Chafayim at base, is talking about there's no segregation. So what does that mean? There's no segregation. What does that mean? He's going down the street. He knows there's a Reach of Vedazor there. It's Efshe. He could even go down another street. But Veloika Machavin, his reason why he goes down the street is not for the purpose of Vedazor. And it's not a psikresha. Why is it not a psikresha? What does this mean? So the Rosh in Psochim says, you know why it's not psikresha? Because when he goes down the street, he can hold his nose. So when he goes down the street, it's not definite that he's going to smell the chametz. Because he could go down the street with his fingers on the nose. And that makes it a psikresha. So what does the Rosh mean? You go down the street with his fingers on the nose. Now this comes from the Chametz Chaim in Hilchos Loshon Hara. So Chofetz Chaim discusses a parallel case in Hilchos Loshon Hara. Somebody sitting in the room, Chofetz Chaim, say for Chofetz Chaim, Klal Vov. Sif, Tes, Sif Kotten, sorry, Be'er Ma'am Chaim, Sif Hei, in Klal Vov, Sif Hei, and Be'er Ma'am Chaim, the bottom of the Chofetz Chaim, in Sif Kotten, Yod Alad. He just mamash a parallel case of somebody sitting in the room, and everyone is speaking Loshon Hara there, or he's sitting at Chasna next to somebody, and they're speaking Loshon Hara, and it's very difficult to get away for social reasons, and to put his finger in the ear. The Gemara Bama says the reason why your fingers are created in this shape is you can easily just put them in the ear and they block your ears. But he's going to sit with the chasna with the fingers in the ear. He should do that. That's what he should do. That's the best point. Oh, but the Chometz Chaim is going to look a bit funny sitting with the chasna like this the whole time. Now that you can do it, you can blame on the music. Oh, but upon him, in the Chometz Chaim's days, you couldn't do that. Sit with him. So what's Tutman? You sit with the chasna, there's Lashon Hara going on, and you don't want to hear Lashon Hara. It's even though you don't believe it. Even if you're not a Kabbalist, still it's the Shmir's Lashon Hara. That's what Chometz Chaim discusses. So the Chofetz Chaim compares this case. He brings the Gemara Pesachim. The Chofetz Chaim says that even if it's impossible for you to get away, and even if it's impossible for you to get away, you could make some excuse up that your back's hurting on the chair and go and sit on a chair on the other side of the hall, or you could say the music's too loud. You could go away. It's Efsha. But Veloiko Machaven, if you're not being Machaven, if your purpose of going there wasn't to hear the Lashon Hara, your purpose of sitting at the table was because that's where your place card was, or because you want to enjoy the Chasna, whatever reason. So you're Efsha or Loi Efsha. Veloiko Machaven, you're not being machaven, definitely you didn't go there for the purpose of hearing Lashon Hara. You went there for something else. You can carry on sitting there as long as, and we're talking about you can't be meicha, you can't do this, if you can't protest, you can't change the conversation, why should you try and do that? But if you can't, you can carry on sitting there as long as you're not machaven to enjoy the Lashon Hara going around you, you're not machaven to listen to Lashon Hara, and if you inadvertently hear it then, that's the same idea of Hano Habol Le'odem Balkach. Yes, we've got three cases. We've got the case of chometz, when you're going down the street with your Buddhist monastery, or your work nearby. You've got the case of the Gemara, Avodah Zarah, that's the case of the Gemara, sorry. We've got the case of Chometz, which we're using on the Halacha Lamaisa, on Chalamayit, where one smells the Chometz. You've got the Chometz Chaim's case of Lashon Hara. So the Chometz Chaim discusses this issue, and the Chometz Chaim brings the Tosfos and the Rosh, and he says, why is there no psikration in such a case? The Chayyir, it's all very nice, we've explained it, that is Habal and Baal Korchai. Why is it Baal Korchai? You could have got away, you know, hold them going away, you're enjoying the place. Why is it called Baal Korchai? So the Chometz Chaim explained in Gansen, we'll start off with a yesod of one of the Achreinim. There's Avnei Nezen and Zeb Shimon Shkop, who both say a very similar yesod. Sounds very long, but it's quite a simple yesod. They both say yesod, when it comes to Hanor, when it comes to benefiting something, in other words, there's very different types of yesurim. There's something, schlepping something down the ground, pulling something across, that is the Maisa. That is when you're pulling something on the ground, you're making a groove in the ground, you take a spade. We've done an Issa of Harisha on Shabbos. And you put a chair along the ground, even though you're not planning to dig a spade and make a groove in the ground or a ditch in the ground. Abel HaMaisa, Psik Reisho, it's definitely going to happen. You're over an Issa of a Maisa, of a Pu'ula, of digging a thing on Shabbos. Hano, having the Hano is not the Issa. They want to say Pshat Negamar. In other words, the Kasha was, you're sitting in the room, LaMaisa, you're enjoying it. Who cares that you were actually, you didn't plan to go there for that. LaMaisa, you went there. And the Hano is coming, the smell is enjoying, so you can't deny the smell, a horrible smell would disturb you. And this smell is Lamais and enjoyment. So why is there, the fact that you were Lay Machav and you didn't originally want to go there for that purpose, why is that, how does that help you? So the Chofetz Chaim, the Shimon Shkop and the Nez, they say you saw it, all the Achelim usually assert that Hano is different than all other things. Sometimes the Issa is the Maisa, the doing. Hano, the Issa is not just the benefiting, the enjoyment you're getting from it. It's the actual taking the benefit. In other words, when you go to Havana, it's the going to Havana. If you don't go anywhere to Havana, I'm Sashay Tigamor, if you're sitting in a place and the Hano comes to you, you didn't go to take the Hano, such a Issa, that's not the Issa of Hano. Hano is Lekichas Hano, taking Hano to you, taking the benefit for you. So for example, in our case, if somebody would be sitting in a room and he opens the window, without plan of taking any Hano, and all of a sudden the smell, the beautiful smell of scent of Avodah Zorah comes in the room. So he benefits from it. He didn't go to take the Hano, he didn't go over to the Avodah Zorah and inhale the vapor of Avodah Zorah, the smell of Avodah Zorah. He was sitting in his room and the smell came to him. Such a thing is not considered an Issa of Hano. That's not taking the Hano. That's the Hano coming to him. And that's the Lashon HaGemara of Emes. The Lashon HaGemara of Pesachim is Itma Hano Habo Loi Lo'odom Baal Korchei. You ask, why is it Baal Korchei? Baal Korchei means that he didn't go and take it. The Hano came to him, he's sitting there doing his thing. He's sitting in his room learning. He's sitting in his room having a nice shmooz, having dinner. And he opens the window and Hano comes flying into the window to him. That's considered, even though it's not Baal Korchei, the Hano doesn't force him, but he's now Machut around the room. He was in the room without the Hano. Hano came to him and now he's sort of forced to have Hano. It comes automatically. Automatically he has Hano. Such a type of Hano is not Asa. So what is the Issa? The Issa is you going to take the Hano. Yeah, so I think it's quite clear. The Nachkamina is, there's no Issa to go along and enjoy if the enjoyment comes to you. The Issa would be with these type of things, with these type of Hanos. The Issa is only you going to take the Hano. So he was, I feel like it's already taken away. Hano, I bought all the Makalche. If it's like a machabim, if you're machab. So once again, comes out of this. If a person, when is a person also to go to Avodah Zarah? The Issa is if a person goes and he goes to the window and opens up in order to have the Hano, then he's not, the Hano's not coming to him. He has gone to get the Hano. He goes down the street because he knows this street, there's a nice smell. So he wants to go and walk down this street. So he goes Pesach on a Chol HaMoed Halting. And he's got a few options. He can go here, he can go there. And he goes, you know, I want to go to this place. I enjoy that smell. It's a smell of fresh baked bread. I enjoy this walk. It enhances my walk. So he goes especially down the road to go along and do this. So then if he's going especially to smell the bread, that would be an Issa of Hano. The case, our case is, he's going there. And he's going to enjoy his day on the outing. Or he's going to the shop. And the Hano comes to him automatically. He knows perhaps it's definitely going to happen. Yeah. So now we can start with the Pesik Resh. There's two stages. The first stage we asked was, Al-Akhaira, leave Pesik Resh out. He knows he's going then. He's going to smell. When he smells, he's enjoying the Hano's Issa. That was saying to go along and take an Issa that comes to you may not be Issa. But the Maisa still, if it's a Pesik Resh, it's definitely going to come to you. And Al-Akhaira, even if you're not Machava, you're not Machava to take the Hano. Like everything. You want Machava to make the groove in the ground. You're Machava to shut the chair. But when together we step in the chair, there was a groove in the ground. So here as well, when you open the window, you want Mechavan to open the window to go along and smell the Avodah Zarah. If you would have gone to open the window to smell the Avodah Zarah, it would have been Asa. That's called taking Hano. You're going to open the window not to smell the Avodah Zarah. You open the window for your fresh air. You open something else. And then the smell of Avodah Zarah comes in. So that's already now Dovah She'ena Miskavan. Why is it Dovah She'ena Miskavan? Because you didn't want to go and take the Hano. The taking of Hano happened when you were doing something else. When you were taking some fresh air. You walk down the street with your monastery there. You weren't going to smell the smell of Avodah Zarah. You were going to take a walk. At the same time of the walk, came in. So it's not, you're not going. It's not, the Issa is not done. But the Maestro, the other Kasha Sosha, what happened to Psikresha? The Maestro, at the end of the day, even though you're not going to take the Hano, it's like the man stuck in the chair. You're not going to make the hole. You're not going to make the groove. But it automatically happens. And you know it's going to happen. And every time when we say that something is definitely going to happen, so even though your plan is not to take the Hano or not to make the hole in the ground, you do something else where it's definitely the outcome of that thing that the hole is going to happen. But you do something where definitely the Hano is going to come. That should be a Shana Psik Resha. So on that, the Rosh says...
It's a bakery and it smells the fasting.
What's this?
A fasting
is not also to smell food. There's no Issa Hano on a fasting to smell food. It's to eat food. It's to ingest food. There's no Issa to smell the fasting.
Why is that also?
Well, why is that? Because the Chomet says Hano. There's no Issa Hano of food on a fasting day.
Satan's going to be within the Shaila of he's in the office and he opens the window
But he knows there's a bakery next door.
That's right. He knows the bakery next door. But he didn't open the window to. He didn't open the window to take the benefit of the bakery.
He opened it for.
He didn't say, you know, I'd love to have some smell of fresh bread in here. I haven't eaten bread for a week. And he opens the window. Chosh, let's smell it. If you do that, that would be definitely also.
Yeah.
That's also because he's taking kanol.
Right.
I mean, he's taking kanol himself. But if he's open the window because he wants some fresh air.
Yeah.
And at the same time, automatically he's going. So if it's not always, sometimes here, sometimes not. It may not the smell doesn't always come. That's definitely water. I mean, that's no shy. That's a double shame of scum. But we're asking our question. The Gemara says that even if he knows the smell is definitely coming, or he knows, then after the halach it's going to be mutter. So the Tosfos asks, why am I to psik reisha? So Tosfos says, we're talking about a case where there's no psik reisha. Now, what does it mean there's no psik reisha? Because we could say such a case here. But the Rosh says, no psik reisha. Why is no psik reisha? Because a person could close his nose. So the Chachmas Odom wants to learn. The Gemara is only talking about a case where a person walks down the street of Avodah Zarah with his nostrils closed. Because he's not smelling. But sometimes the smell goes past, even through his closed nostrils, it may come in. And that's why it's not a psik reisha, but still, it's a dover, it could be zah. Says the Chofetz Chaim, he finds it very schwer to understand the pshat. And also, says the Chofetz Chaim, if you look on the Rosh and the Rosh, he doesn't say because you have to close your nose, he says because you can close your nose. The Shachalei says, because you can. Now how does can, closing one's nose, when blocking one's nose, help when one's going there? In other words, you're going down the street, the smell is coming to you. Because you can close your nose, it could have, would have, should have, but didn't. I mean, you could have done it. But the mice, you didn't do it. You're not doing it. So why should I help you to make it ois psik reisha? How does it help you to say that the smell of chum is not psik reisha? One of it is not psik reisha. So the Chofetz Chaim, just think of the Chofetz Chaim. I'm already a kapshat. Chofetz Chaim is a gewaldig kapshat. Chofetz Chaim says, it depends. He said, if the issa would be the smelling of the Avodah Zarah, or the, in our case, the smelling of the chometz, or in the Chofetz Chaim's case, the issa would be the taking of the Lashon Hara coming into your ears, without you going there to hear it, then in the Chanami, you'd have no etza. It's definitely happening. You open the window, it's happening around. He said, the issa is not that. The issa is, he said, they're going there. As we said before, it doesn't say, the Pashto means this. The Pashto is the going there. The Issa is going to the place and taking the Hanol. He said, when you take the Hanol, in other words, and you open that window, he said, the opening of the window itself, normally psik reisha works like this. If you do something, you step your thing on the floor, and it's definitely going to make a groove. So now you're stepping the thing on the floor, it's definitely going to make the groove, so you're making the groove. The act of making a groove is you stepping the chair. You could have taken a spade.
It can't be avoided.
It can't be avoided. Therefore, the act that you're doing becomes a maisa issa. Even though you're not digging, you're chair schlepping. Chair schlepping is not one of the amlochas of Shabbos. But this chair schlepping becomes an act of digging automatically. Yeah. So the Chofetz Chaim, but when it comes to going to the smell of the chometz, when you go down the street, you're walking down, what's the issa? The issa is not the smelling. The issa, as we explained, was the act that you do to take the smell, the going there for the purpose of smelling. Or the opening the window with the purpose of smelling. Since the opening of the window itself could be done in another way, could be done with your nose closed, you can't say the opening of the window becomes an act of taking hanol. If it's not inevitable, now the chair stepping on the ground is inevitable on this type of floor, on this type of ground, in this situation, it's always going to make a thing. Opening the window, and that's when you're not blocking your nose, but you can't call it an act of taking hanol. You can't say the window opening is an act of taking benefit, because I could have done it with my nose closed. So you can't be misyachas, in other words, you can't come along and say that the window opening becomes an act of lekichas hanor, an act of taking hanor, because lemaisa, you could have done it a different way. And who adin, if you go to a place where there's a riyaz asur, if you could have done it, you can't be misyachas. Therefore, that maisa doesn't become a maisa issa. If it doesn't become a maisa issa, even though psikration is definitely going to happen, but since it's not inevitable to everyone when it opens a window, it's going to happen such a thing. It could be done in different ways, but it wouldn't be an act of the kichas hanor. But maybe that opening of the window, or that going to that place, the walking down that street, you can't call walking down the street an act of taking hanor, because people can walk down the street with their nose closed, they won't have the hanor. People that have blocked noses won't have the hanor, and people with their eyes closed won't see that thing. And people are made that act can't be considered an act of the kichas hanor, and made it becomes mutagre. It's a chiddush about zay paskim in the ma'aser hanor abol odem al korchay. Just want to explain it a little bit. If the hanor comes by itself to a person, even if it's a psik reisha is going to come, because as long as it's not impossible, as if there's no possible way one can get out of it at all, then the act becomes an act of taking hanor. Yeah.
Just say that it depends the actual
actual act. If he tells with his nose, then he's showing that he definitely doesn't want to have an oor. If he doesn't close his nose, it's a clue that he wants to enjoy.
Not
otherwise,
that.
He's got a way of.
No, because if the one closes his nose, it's hard to close his nose in the street. He's going to walk down like that. He's going to spend the whole day in the and the Chalamoid out with his nose like this. Then, I'm not sure I'm going to shy. I'm going to get the Chalamoid.
To find it,
but you're not a chiv, like Muhammad is also okay. I feel it's Efshe to cross the road, you're not. You can't say cross the road. And the Rosh of the Rosh is, and Rosh of the Shach is, no one has to close his nose. Kimin the Hayayocha last is Kain is okay. Hayayocha last Kim is he's staying there, he could have closed it, didn't, whenever it's still mutter. So then Chofetz Chaim says the vart is because the act of going there doesn't become an Isanot. I said it quite short about Kaponim, the Masa, at the end of the day, Halocha la Masa. It's not kind of a problem going to a place. As long as one doesn't have machaven, the reason why he goes is not to definitely enjoy the smell when he goes. Is the masa? There's lots more you can talk about. But the masa, halacha la masa, is mutter to go to a place, even though one ends up smelling chomets and smell. But to go to smell the chomets dafka, to go because you want to smell the chomets, to go over to the chomets to smell it, or to come to your children, look, a lovely smell. Let's enjoy. We haven't had chomets before, and that's a lovely smell. That would be awesome. But if it happens automatically, one doesn't have machaven to take it. It's mutter, even though it's a psikreishi, you know it's going to happen. It comes out that it's mutter. I'll leave you a bit of Devar Agoda, then I'll be living in Shvi'i Shal Pesach. Shvi'i Shal Pesach is Kriyas Yamsef. I'm going to give a moment to Kishayin Avot, Reb Shalom Shvadron, he's going to say Hashayin Avot. The Pesach in Yoyna says, the beginning of Yoyna, we know, Yoyna Hanovi went, as I said in Pesach, and Yarka Seah Svinah, he went down to there was a storm going on, and the ship was turning over, and Yoyna Hanovi went, and Yarka Seah Svinah, by Yerodim. So Shalom put it down very nicely. He said, imagine you're on a plane and you hear the captain shouting out that one of the engines are going and the next engine, it's been a dangerous situation and everyone should go in. And a man goes, oh, Gavaldi, can play a Shlame Yidotten. And he says, again, Schlafen a bisschen. He goes and lies down. And not only he goes to sleep, but Yerodim is a deep sleep. He starts snoring after a second. And everyone's in a panic. The plane is in a turmoil. And he goes to the back of the plane. He says, and he goes to go see. So Yoyin Hanavi went to the middle of the terminal of the ship was turning over, and he went to the Akase Asvina, everyone was saying, shouting and screaming, Vayirodim, when he gang and shlof, and he went to sleep, not only to sleep, but he went to Tamamish, a deep sleep, Vayirodim, he started snoring passion, so when he went to Vayirodim. So, what's the Pshat? How does one understand such a thing? So, Reb Shalom said, in a mutable way, Reb Shalom said, the Kasha is Nishmain, the Kasha is not his. Shalom said, the Kasha was the Rav HaChovel, the captain of the ship. He said, the captain of the ship went to him and said, what's going on in Malacha? What are you doing? Kum Kol Agech? But Yenavi Pashed an answer. He said, what's Yenavi's answer to this? How can he sleep in such a way? He said, Yenavi did answer. Yenavi answered, he said, he asked who he is, who Yenavi is. Yenavi said, Ivri Anoichi, I'm a Yid. He said, oh, what do you do? Here you are. Ivri Anoichi. I fear the Rebbeinu Shleilam, Asha Osa Es Hayom Ve'Es Hayabosha, who made the sea and the Yabosha. What's this Lashon? Ivri Anoichi, I'm an Ivri. I'm an Ivri, we know. So the Kim Ani Yore, we understand. Asha Osa Es Hayom Ve'Es Hayabosha. Why do you have to add that in? Rebbeinu Shleilam, who made the Yam, made the Yabosha. So Pshom said, Zeh Hashem Pshat, Yishtel Tzu Anoi Meni Melech, Nekut Yishashan at the back of Noi Meni Melech, on Kriyas Yamsuf. So I'm going to give out from the name of the Melech and Kriyas Yamsuf. The Lashon of the Pasuk changes. The Gaon's also got an Erichas on it. A different Mahalach in Ganston. The world knows the Gaon very much. And there's a word from the name of the Melech, also a Bekant Avot. A Shein Avot. The Lashon of the Pasuk changes. The first time around the Pasuk it says, Uvenei Yisra Holchu, Bayabosha B'Seich Hayom. They went in the dry and Bayabosha B'Seich Hayom. Afterwards the Pasuk says, B'Seich Hayom, Bayabosha. So it changes. First Bayabosha B'Seich Hayom, and then, after the change, it says, "Vayabosha b'seichayom." So, first time it says, "Vayabosha b'seichayom." Second time, "Seichayom vayabosha." So, no, it's the other way around. First time, "Seichayom vayabosha," then "Vayabosha b'seichayom." Yeah. What's the pshat "Seichayom vayabosha" first, and then "Vayabosha b'seichayom" afterwards? It says the Neim Melech Zayashen. So, there's two daggers of emuna. Klali Yisrael came to Kriyas Yamsuf. They reached the Meritik Madrega of Emunah and Betochen and the Bainish Toilam, by Aminu Bashem of Moshe Avdai, they reached the Ahich Madrega and Emunah Betochen. The first Madrega person reaches in, he's standing in a situation of danger. In a situation of danger, when a person has proper Emunah and proper betochen in the Rebbeinu Shleilam, he can stay calm in face of adversity. He can stay calm when the world is in a turmoil around him. He can stay ruhig because he knows, even if he's besoy chayom, even if he's in the depths of the sea, Abba, he acts as if he's by Yabosha. He acts as if he's on the dry land. And just like when he's on dry land, he's going on the dry land. There's no problems around him. He's ruhig. He's calm. He feels safe. Who are then? Well, he's besoy chayom. He can feel by Yabosha. That's a madrega. It's a madrega in a mun, a person in face of tzoris, in face of besoy chayom, he can feel as if he's by Yabosha. It's a greater madrega. Says the Rebbe Melech, but there's a bigger madrega. The bigger madrega is that not only he feels b'sei chayam by Yabosha, when he's by Yabosha, he feels b'sei chayam. What does that mean by Yabosha b'sei chayam? Because a normal person, when he's by Yabosha, when he's in a situation of dry land, and there's nothing challenging, he feels as if he's in the hands of the Rebbe Nishleim. When he's b'sei chayam, he may start feeling he's not. So he has to work on himself, on a munah b'tochen, and then a person who's on a madrega, a grace of madrega, he reached the madrega, that even when he's b'sei chayam, even when he's in face of b'sei chayam, he feels as if he's by Yabosha. Well, there's yet a bigger madrega. There's a bigger madrega that one's by Yabosha, one's on dry land, to him, he could be b'sei chayam. Meaning, that there's no milo being by Yabosha over b'sei chayam. When somebody's totally in the hand of the Rebbe Nishleilam, when somebody's totally reliant upon the Rebbe Nishleilam, there's kind of kamina, whether he's by Yabosha, b'sei chayam. Shalom said, even the Yabosha itself is not so safe. I mean, the Rui Karetz al Amoyim, the whole Yabosha is standing on Amoyim. Toyle Eretz al Belima, the whole world is hanging on a thread in the hand of the Rebbeinu Shleilam. So a true Ma'amin doesn't see any maile, any advantage over being by Yabosha or being B'sei Chayam. A true Ma'amin is not going to have a Jager. He doesn't look at the Yabosha being a safe place and the B'sei Chayam being the precarious situation, and he feels B'sei Chayam as if he's by Yabosha. The true Ma'amin, the high Madriga one is, wherever he is, there's no Yabosha, there's no Sachayom. Everything is standing in the hand, in the lap of the Rebbeinu Shleilam. He's standing relying upon the Rebbeinu Shleilam. So the Yoyin HaNovi was saying to the Rav HaChayvel, Ivri Anoichi, Amayid, Es Elekim HaNiyore, Asha Osa Es Hayom, Ve Es HaYabosha. You ask me how I can go to sleep, and how I can snore, how I can be Nirdam in the middle of such a storm, in the middle of such a tempest. The Teretz is, and Psalm said, the Meken Shlofen in the Heim, if you can sleep on your bed at night, a normal night, how can you sleep? Who knows what's going to tell you there at Salvalima? The Teretz is, he said, by me, the same way I can sleep by Yabosha, I can go on and sleep. I can sleep in the middle of a tempest, the middle of a storm. Because when I've reached the Madrega, I was tired. So Achilik, when the home you're tired, you go to sleep. In the middle of a storm, you're tired, you also go to sleep. Because the same Rebbeinu Shem is guarding me by Yabosha, the same Rebbeinu Shem is guarding me by Sechayom. And there's no milo being by Yabosha by Sechayom. I didn't have to work on myself because I had to be act as if me is asking in Shava, Shava, Beshava. The Munna and Rebbeinu Shem are not the same. That's the Meritik Madrega, the Munna, which Christ has reached, but Techki is Yamsav. The Lashon of the Pasuk is Oz Yoshe Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, Le Osit, Oz Yoshe Moshe. In Rashi, he says, what's the Lashon? Osit. Masofen, Bavron Gurvitz, and the Langzun Tashtak, and his Agoda Shapesach, him is there, Ashen of Ot. He brings that. He brings, I'm saying this short, he brings the Pasuk to Hillim. It's a Vayaminu Ba'ashem Vayashiru B'Til Osei. And Christ will believe in the Rabbeinu Shtoylam, then they sang Shira. He says, a person didn't just sing Shira, they didn't just sing Shira because of the acts that happened. They sang Shira because they reached the Madriga of Emunah. In other words, they didn't just sang Shira because they were saved. The very fact they were saved and then they reached that high Madriga of Emunah, that was greater than the Shira. The Shira wasn't just on the actual events that occurred. The Shira was also on the high level of Emunah that transposed because of the great events. And once they saw the high levels of Emunah, then Vayyesh Mashem Yaminu Mashem Moshe Avdai, Oz, then Yoshe Moshe, then Moshe sang. When it was Yaminu Mashem Moshe Avdai, then Oz Yoshe Moshe. So there was a saying the Lashon Osit, Oz Yoshe Moshe. When a person has a certain nice event that happens, a good event, Avadi sing Shira to Rebbeinu Shleilam. When a person reaches the Madriga of Emunah, it's not just a one-off Shira. When a person reaches such a Madriga in Emunah, he can continuously sing Shira his whole lifetime. Because once he reaches the Madriga of Emunah, everything's from the Rebbeinu Shleilam, everything he sees in the future, he'll always be able to sing Shira for, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether it looks bad, whatever person's he'll always sing Shira. Then Yoshe Moshe, the Kamenei Yisrael, they reach the Madrega, not only sing Shira then, but they'll be able to continuously sing a Shira. So the Rebbeinu Shem helped him with Hashem, at this Pesach, and this Nisim of Kriyas Yamsov, that we're going to mention tomorrow, late tomorrow, should be Zeicha to reach the grace of Madregas of Oz Yoshe Moshe, and to continuously sing praises to the Rebbeinu Shleilam, till the Neumel Fonam Shira Chadosha, Mit Hashem Adaluka. ולגויס השיר החדוש של מי משיח.
אני מנהיג.
הלו, הלו. So I say a quick word on the to continue the theme of the Shvi Shel Pesach, and I'll just follow on by because Vayushav Hayom Lifnois Boikel Eisunai. When we read the Mitzvah tomorrow, the parsha of Kisyam, I'll make it brief. That the Yamsif was to return to Leisunai, which Chazal described as Letno Oyuhurishoy. Its first condition. So there was seemed to be that Eibishter made the precondition right at the time of creation that the sea is going to split for the Eden and it's going to, and the Eden will be able to be saved and go through it. So the question is, if that was already a precondition, and we knew that the Rabbein Shlomo knows this is how it was set out at Maaseh Bereishis, there seems to be a case of Inui Hadin, like a person who's about to come to judgment, and you're holding back, you're withholding with him. He's standing there at the edge of the water. They look back, they've got the Egyptians pursuing them. You hear the war cries of the chariots, and in front of them they've got the Yamsis, they've got the wild animals. Like Chazal explained, that all sides, wherever they looked, they were in trouble. And yet, the Ribbono Shel Olam watched this happen, and there was as if it could have just been a lift with a sensory door. You walk in, and then it opens up because the Eden are there. When the Mitzrayim came, the doors close and the Yamsef closes on them, drowns them. End of story. What you have to have this whole business of Eden having to shout and to scream. And so there is a Medrash Rabba. The Medrash Rabba says as follows: Hashmiini es koilech ki koilech uref. The Rebbein Shloim is saying, Kavyuchel, in the please let me hear your voice because your voice is so beautiful and so pleasant to the ears. Medrash Mushal, which it brings, is as follows. There was a princess, and she was in the forest. She was surrounded by highwaymen, and she saw that her fate is very doomed. She screamed for help, and at that time there was a melech which passed by. It says the Heilige Medrash saved this poor princess from assault, and after he took the princess to a palace, and he married her. But as time passed, she became indifferent to him, indifferent to the king, and indifferent to the relationship altogether. The only way the king felt that he was going to reinvigorate this relationship between him and the princess is to orchestrate a repeat attack of what happened before he married them. And so therefore he got his highwaymen, and they came, surrounded the princess, and as if they staged this assault, and the princess screamed, "Help, help, please, they can see I'm in this terrible situation." And of course the king once again came to save her. That's the end of the Medrash. And therefore, what's the Nimshel? Yidden in Mitzrayim screamed for salvation, like we screamed, "Bedag Budeva Nitzach El Hashem, Vatar Shavusim Elokim." We cried, the Ribbono Shel Olam took them out of Mitzrayim, they exited to Egypt. But then, what happened was that when they came out of Mitzrayim, there was this comfortable feeling, there they are, all dressed in their city suits, they're ready, they're exiting, we are free men, we are people who have been liberated, and therefore we're very indifferent to a certain extent to our liberator. So the Eibishter devised the second assault, like the Medrash says. And there was V'chizakti Yisleif Paroi V'ruda V'chareyem, and then all of a sudden they heard the war cries from the Mitzrayim. And when they came, that was facilitating the same Yisod that the Eden cried out to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and that's what happened. V'yitzaki b'nei Yisrael El Hashem, and they cried out to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and again the Ribbono Shel Olam created the salvation and split the Yamsef. What do we see from all this? The Yeshia is in place. The fact that Eden are going to await a salvation is a given. But nonetheless, in order to evoke that tefillah, to precipitate it, to bring it out, It should be conducive to the to Yidden screaming and crying out to the Rebbeinu Shloim. The Rebbeinu Shloim delays the Yeshia almost like an Inya Adin to torment them for their own benefits to reinvigorate them. But on the back of that, we understand the two amazing Chazal. One of them that says, Kushim Panasusa Shel Udom Kikriyas Yamsef. And another one which says, Kushim Zviga Shel Udom Kikriyas Yamsef. And both of them are compared, and there's an analogy between the two and Kriyas Yamsef. So, Freitzach the Kasha. In both of those cases, we know that it's exactly the opposite. A man, Zivik, has been already ordained for him and proclaimed 40 days before he was even born, because he was his bas ployni le ployni. So what are you saying now afterwards that the kusha zviga shaludam is busy, he's got to find, it's difficult to him. What difficult to him? It's a given, it's a dumb deal. And the same thing with his panusa. We know at the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, we know that panususa shaludam ketzivim loy, Rosh Hashanah le Rosh Hashanah. So therefore this year you're going to earn X amount. What's this business about davening, it's a given, you know, that's what you're going to get, and that's the end of the story. But if the analogy goes all the way, so therefore it's beautifully compared to those two. The kushim lifnei kodesh baruch hu is pshat that the Rebbein Shlom creates this difficulty for you, that when you come to find the zimik, all sorts of difficulties, hurdles, and obstacles are there in your way, so that you should cry out to the Rebbein Shlom, Beter Tata, help me to find Ma Bashete. And then the same with Panusa, that the Rebbein Shlom so creates it, so that the person creates this renewed bond, this reinvigorated relationship with the Rebbein Shlom by davening to the Rebbein Shlom every single day, like the Mon, where every day was a new opportunity for you to connect to the Rebbein Shlom and ask him for panusa. So now, in the back of this medrash, we've got this comparison and an analogy of the other two things, which are compared to Kiryas Yamsef in a completely different perspective. Tell. Yeah.